Greetings, everyone. This is Keith and Karina coming to you again from the great state of Pennsylvania on our last day of our honeymoon. And we want to continue on with this series. I didn't see it as being a series from the beginning, but it seems to be now because here we are doing a part three of a new season. But we want to put an emphasis today on the subject of the new season being about renewing your mind, getting God's word into your heart and mind. And for those of you who, you know, you already know these things, it's just a reminder, as Paul, as Peter said, about stirring up as a reminder these things. We all need to be reminded. But we believe there will be many people who will listen to this podcast down the road who need this teaching specifically because they have not developed a habit. They have not known the Lord this way through his word. It's one thing to have a relationship with the Lord through just coming into the born-again experience and receiving his Lord and Savior, but making him Lord and knowing his word and get to know him through his word. Because the scripture tells us that God, his word, he and his word are one. And so when you get to know his word, you get to know him. And so to the degree you know his word is the degree you know him. So we want to talk about these things in more in depth. And before we do, I want to introduce my sweetheart again and let her just share what's on her heart as we start this teaching podcast today.
Awesome. Hi, everyone. It is so wonderful to be able to share this time with you once again. We are so excited because we know that the Holy Spirit has been working in your heart. So we know that the messages, the word that we share through this podcast, which we know it is inspired and led by the Holy Spirit, is definitely making a difference in so many lives. And we want to thank you for taking this time. Thank you for applying the Word of God into your life. You know, what you said is so beautiful and so important. And I'm sure that most of us can agree, there's a lot of mental health issues going on today. We see a lot of people that are dealing with different things in terms of mental health and what we think. Our mind is very important. What the thoughts that we have, the thoughts that we think, the things that consume us, and I'm going to use that word, consume us, God cares about it. God cares. I'm going to say it very plainly. God cares about your mind. God cares about your thoughts. It's so much so that he said that his people perish for a lack of knowledge. So the Lord is interested in what we know, because what we know, according to how you think, that's who you are. You know, if you think that it's raining outside, you're going to take an umbrella. Your actions are based on your thoughts. If you don't think it's raining, you're not. And if it is, then you're going to get wet. So I know that's a pretty simple, practical example, but what you think determines your steps and who you are. So we want to not only limit that based on whether it's raining or not, we want to now take this truth and go in depth with, why is God so interested in our thoughts? What difference does it make what I think about? Who cares what I think about? Does it really influence my walk? Does it really matter? Does it make a difference if two Christians that are listening to the same word think differently? How will we know which one is carrying out the word of God? What difference does it make? So stay tuned, and I know we're going to learn a lot.
Right, and sweetheart, just as you were saying yesterday, it's still been sticking to my mind, you know, about as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. This is coming out of Proverbs 23:7, and a lot of people don't even know that's in the Bible. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And I've heard it said before, a minister some number of years ago said that our life will always go in the direction of our most dominant thoughts.
That's right.
And what we think on, especially as a habit, continually over and over, will tend to lead us in a direction of those thoughts. And that's why it's so important that we take thoughts captive.
That's right.
The scripture says that, and let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, 4, and 5. And I want to read this. We talked about this before in some earlier podcasts, but it bears to me importance to be repeating some of the same things over again, because, you know, we've heard it said too before that if it says, the scripture says in Romans 10:17, that so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It doesn't say that faith comes by having heard, even though we know we get faith from what we have heard. But faith on a continuum comes from hearing, continually hearing, building upon what we've heard before, and watering that word. We need to water the word so it can continue to grow. Matter of fact, Jesus taught a parable about this: the sower sows the word, and the watering of the word, and these sort of things. And so, as we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, 4, and 5, it reads, and I'm reading from the New King James, and I might even actually kind of start quoting some of this traditional King James, because I have a lot of that in my, you know, my memory. It says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal," or not natural, "but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments." Well, the traditional King James says imaginations, and I actually like that better. "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." You see how important this is, that we need to not only cast down imaginations or arguments or speculations or anything that comes against, you know, the knowledge of God, but we need to bring every thought capped into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So I see two things in this, you know, in terms of casting down imaginations that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, is we have to have a knowledge of God in order to know what thoughts we need to cast down that exalts itself against the knowledge of God.
That's a very good point.
We have to be able to compare, you know, like on one hand, left hand to the right hand, what is this thought that's coming to my mind? What is it saying to me? And what does the word of God say about that thought? So when that thought comes to me, well, you know, this is a new year, but yet it ain't going to be any different this year than it was last year. Mm-hmm. You were depressed last year. Your life was getting worse. You were getting sicker, and your health has been deteriorating. And why would you expect God to do anything different than from what happened last year? Did he heal you last year? No. Did he provide for you financially and help pay off those debts that you accumulated? No, actually, you might be in debt even more than you were then. But yet, we still have a promise from God's word that he tells us that he will provide for us the abundant life. And some say, well, you know, that's just talking spiritually. Okay, well, that sounds good on the surface, you know, that he'll do things for us spiritually, but how does that relate into the natural? Does it not have any connotation? Does it not have any application to the natural world we live in? Well, if we get to know God, as we talked about at the beginning of this broadcast, get to know his word, we get to know him. What has he done for other people through the scriptures? How has God patterned himself in the scriptures in terms of how he reacts and how he interacts with human beings? We know from the beginning, even from Genesis and forward until now throughout the whole New Testament, that God is a God of covenant. And we've talked about this before, yes, sweetheart, about a covenant. And in a covenant is special rights and privileges. And in that covenant, there is a side of the covenant that we're responsible for and a side that God is responsible for. And he will do his part if we will do our part. And that's the way a covenant works. It's similar in some ways to a contract, but it's much stronger and more powerful than any contract. Because when God comes into a covenant with people, just like he says in Hebrews chapter 6, you know, that he told Abraham that he would make him the father of many nations. But you know, he doesn't say it in Hebrews 6, but that's built upon what he had said previous to Abraham. And he says in Hebrews 6 that by two immutable things, which is impossible to God to lie, that we have an anchor to our soul. And what was those two immutable things? He made a promise to Abraham, and he made an oath to confirm it.
That's beautiful.
But, you know, of course, we've talked about this before, sweetheart, that
yes, we have.
God didn't have to do that.
No,
because he doesn't lie, and he can't lie, cannot lie.
Right.
The scripture tells us that he cannot lie. So why would he need to enter into not only a covenant to make a promise and then confirm it with an oath. Why would he even need to do that? You want to add something to that?
Yeah, and he did that for our sake, because we know this language in terms of promise, and we know what it means to have to swear. I think a lot of people hear that word. It's a little bit more common when you swear by something, you just affirm that. So he did not have to do it because his word was enough, but yet he actually added so that we would be more comfortable and understand the depth of what he was doing. But he didn't have to do that. But I want to ask a question, because we started sharing about taking the thought captive. So how do we take that thought captive? The one, the example that you set, oh, I'm going to be depressed this year as well.
It's just like I was saying, you know, we have to take the thought captive against the word of God, you know, not just against any thought of our mind, but what does the word of God say? And I'm glad you brought this up, sweetheart, because many people don't know how to put this into, you know, into real living situation, practical way as an application.
Right.
And when you get to know the word of God, you know what the word says against certain subjects, against certain things, then you know what the word says to do with that thought. So when we're talking about a specific case like depression, what does the word say about God's will concerning depression? Well, it says that the word says that he wishes above all that we prosper and be in health, even as our soul prospers. Well, how's our soul prospering if we're depressed? How are we experiencing abundant life if we're depressed? You know, Jesus said, "The thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I've come to give you life, and life more abundantly." So which one of these? Is it the devil, or is it Jesus that's bringing the depression?
So it's not God's will for us to be immersed in sadness and stay there in sadness. And as you're saying, with depression, it's not God's will for us to live like that. Now, I'm asking that question. Of course, we know the answer, but I think sometimes we have to hear ourselves asking the question. Sometimes I think we justify certain situations in our lives, and somebody may be experiencing a great, great sadness because of a recent loss, or lost their job, or some overwhelming situation, or situation with family, with their children. But even though we experience those emotions, it is not God's will for us to be destroyed through these emotions, right? So if I understand clearly what you're saying is, God doesn't want me to stay like this. Even though I may be feeling like this as a natural reaction of a loss of something that has debilitated my life, but God doesn't want me to stay like this. And if he doesn't want me to stay like this, it's because he's also providing what I need to get out of this state. Is that, can we say that that's correct?
That's absolutely correct, because, you know, when Jesus said that he came to give us life and life more abundantly, he wasn't just talking about the afterlife in heaven. And this is what a lot of Christians, and I would even say many denominations and churches, have taught, is that, well, most of these promises God has made to us really doesn't have an application in this life. It's really talking about the hereafter, of eternal life. But we can see clearly through scriptures, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, there's still some of the same principles that are involved, that God came to prosper the people and bless them. We can look at Deuteronomy chapter 28, where he talks about the covenant of the blessings and then the curse of disobedience. He said if we would keep his commandments and his statutes and ordinances, he said he would bless them, and they would be the head and not the tail. They would be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. They would lend and not borrow, and their fruit of the womb would be blessed. So everything in their life would be blessed. But if they did not hearken to his voice and did not keep his commandments, then they would fall under the curse. And the curse was everything you can think of going wrong. And that's not a good place to be. No. But see, it wasn't God's will for them to enter under the curse, because he says in Deuteronomy, you know, 28, and then you go, I think, all the way through chapter 30. He talks about, you know, choosing life. He says, set before you death, life and death. Therefore, choose life that you may live. Well, he wants us to choose life. And that life is the abundant life. And that abundant life, as we know it today, is through the Lord Jesus Christ and his sacrifice he made on the cross for our sins, but also to give us this special gift called the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
The Holy Spirit is not only give us to be our comforter, but he's also to help us and to guide us in the everyday affairs of life. He wants us to be prosperous and be blessed. And a lot of people don't know that. You know, how can you resist depression? And how can you resist the thoughts of, you know, things are never going to get better if you actually believe it's God's will for you to be under the curse?
That's a good point.
You have to know the word of God contradicts that, and that's a lie from the devil.
Right.
The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. What is he coming to steal? He's coming to steal your joy, your peace, your prosperity, your health, anything and everything he can.
Even your potential as well.
Yeah, and your potential as well. And so he doesn't want you to have any kind of hope for the future. That's the way he operates. And it is God who says that he came to give us life and life more abundantly. And we're even told in other scriptures that he knows the plans he has for us. And those plans are to prosper us and to bless us. He wants us to have the abundant life now in this lifetime, in this earth realm, not just when we get to heaven. And this is something some of you really need to hear, you know, and I would dare say to this, that you need to reprogram your mind to the Word of God. You need to get the Bible. Some of you don't even read the Bible. I'm just going to say it like that. Some of you don't read the Bible and you say, well, I already know what the Word says, but that really is a contradiction to yourself when you say things that contradict the Word. You know, I've heard people say it before that, oh yeah, I already know that. I've heard that before. But yet I will ask them, I said, but yet you're saying the very opposite of what the Word says that you can have, of what God's will is for you. God wants you to prosper. He wants you to be in health. Does he not say he wants you to be to prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers? So he not only wants your soul to prosper, but he wants you to be in health. And the Word even tells us, Jesus said that the healing was the children's bread. And so this is something that belongs to each one of us as we enter into the covenant with God. There are certain benefits and privileges and promises that God has given to his children that belong to them. And he says in Psalms 103 that we're not to forget his benefits, who forgives our iniquities and heals all of our diseases. And he redeems our life from destruction, crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies. He renews our youth like the eagles. He fills our mouth with good things. These are things he wants us to know that we're to have. Why would he say, I mean, just ask yourself this question. Why would he say, forget not all of his benefits, who does these things? He wants you to stay in remembrance of these things so that you can exercise your faith. God is a God of faith. He's not the God of, well, you know, he'll just do it if he wants to do it. Because if that was the case, it would look like God really doesn't want to help a lot of people, because we see a lot of suffering and tragedies going on in the earth on a continual. Every day you turn the news on, you know, we used to say this about CNN, that CNN was constant negative news, you know, and but really the mass media is always oftentimes portraying the things that are always happening, you know, negatively in the world. You know, you don't see a whole lot of good news being preached.
Keeping the people in fear.
Yeah. Right?
Keeping us in fear.
And so the gospel is called the good news.
That's right.
And the good, tell me how,
positive news.
Tell me how God bringing depression to you would be good news.
No way.
And
no
how way. God putting a curse on you would be good news.
Yeah. You know something about the story, as you're saying, that came to mind of this prophet, Elijah. Remember that story when he had such a great victory. He had just showed the people that God is the only true God. And he challenged them to choose who they were going to serve. Remember that? But then this woman called Jezebel, she threatened him. And I don't know why this came to my mind when you were sharing this. And he ran, and he was so afraid that he actually wanted to die. He hid, and he said he wanted to die. And I think what stood out here was, because as we said before, God does care about your thoughts. And God is so amazing that, well, first of all, he knows everything you're thinking, whether you tell him or not. He knows exactly what you're thinking and the intention and the reasoning for that thinking, for that thought process. Listen to what he said to this prophet. This prophet said to God, you know, pretty much, I want to die. I'm the only one who's left. And that was his thought process. He thought that he was the only prophet left, right? So he just felt probably pretty lonely, pretty scared. This is it. It's me. And I love this story because based on what we're sharing, the word that's being shared now, the Holy Spirit wants you to know that he wants to bring truth to your life. And the truth will set you free. So God told him, no, you're not the only prophet. I reserved myself more than just you. And just that truth alone brought him into a different place. And of course, God took care also of his immediate needs. And he knew that he had to, the next thing that he could do was just come out of that cave and eat. He had to come eat. And something that God provided for him. So I love that because once again, what you're thinking is important will determine your reaction and how you feel about circumstances. And God is so good that he will correct the thought processes that we have that are not right and that cause in us the emotions that God does not want us to have. So let us surrender to the Lord and even be vulnerable and transparent to the Lord and say, Lord, if there is any thoughts in my mind that are not in harmony with your truth, can you please show me? Can you please correct these thoughts? Can you please help me identify what are the thoughts that I have that are making me sick, that are making me sad? Which are the thoughts that I'm holding on to that are not helping me or not allowing me to forgive this, that person? What are the thoughts that I am in, that I have embraced and made a habitation with that are not allowing me to have hope tomorrow, that it's going to be better than yesterday? What am I holding on to? What lie has made a nest in my soul? And I'm not even aware of it. I'm so used to it. I just think it's natural. It's normal. Maybe I saw my parents living that way. What have I held on to that is not true? That is not true. He told the prophet, no, it's not true. You're not the only one. And that truth has to change the way you think. So let's be vulnerable before the Lord and let's be honest. Of course, he knows it, but he wants us to seek his face, seek his intervention, seek his presence, and have a hunger for the truth. Let's not assume that every single thought in my mind is correct. That's pride. I can't trust every single emotion in my heart because the Lord, the word says that my heart sometimes can fool me. So I need to fully trust the Holy Spirit. And that is why I'm ordered so important, as you were saying, about the Word of God. How will we know the Word of God if we don't read the Word of God? The Word of God, the Bible, is the heart of God. The Word of God, the Bible, is the mind of Christ. It is our future. So it is very important for us to know what the Bible says. And if you don't have a Bible, as you said, today's the day to go get one. And even if you need to download one in your phone, but you need to be fed the Word of God. It's like, it's ridiculous for me to say, oh my gosh, why am I gaining so much weight? Meanwhile, I'm drinking soda and having candy for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. It makes no sense for me to wonder why. If I do not know the word of God, I cannot wonder why am I having these thoughts that are not helping me, not allowing me to grow as a human being, to prosper as a Christian, to grow in my intimacy with Jesus Christ. It's illogical for me to think that it would be any other way. I need to know the word of God. And when that word becomes part of who I am, then my thoughts will be aligned with the truth. And the truth is Jesus. He is the one. He is the truth, the way. He is life. Then I will start seeing a change in my thought process, in my heart, and so in my walk.
That's so very important what you're saying, sweetheart, because people say, well, you know, I don't really feel like I need to read the Bible so much because, you know, some people said, you know, well, if you read the Bible too much, you'll go crazy because, you know, it'll make you think strange things. But here we have admonitions from the scriptures that tell us the importance of reading the word, meditating in the word, and dwelling on those things that God has said.
Yeah.
Because he even says here's a good example, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 through 23, says, my son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. And see, this is very important because we are told not to let them depart from our eyes.
Amen.
Keep them in the midst of our heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Notice he didn't say health to your spiritual life when you get to heaven. Because when we get to heaven, we're not going to have a problem of a battle of sickness and disease and poverty and negative thoughts. All those things are going to be done away with. We'll have the perfect nature of God. There will be no sin.
Amen.
And no negative thoughts, and those things will not exist. But we're told while we're on the earth what we need to do to deal with those things. And you say, well, you know, this is part of the life we live on earth. You know, God is allotted to us that we're to be able to suffer, you know, because the scripture says that we will suffer in this life. But what it's talking about is the persecution that will come because of our faith, not simply because we live in a flesh body and we have to suffer because we have a fallen nature, you know, a human body. No, he says right here that they will be health to all of their flesh. Now, you have to know that God promises healing to your body. And if you don't know that, then you need to get the word on that, because how are you going to cast down thoughts that exalts itself against the knowledge of God if you don't know the knowledge of God tells you he wants you to have health, that you be prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers.
Amen.
And we got other scriptures that tell us that healing belongs to us. It's a covenant right. Why? We just mentioned it a few moments ago from Psalms 103. That we're to bless the Lord all of our soul and forget not all his benefits, who forgives our iniquities and heals all of our diseases. He's talking about any disease that we might have, that's a dis-ease in our body, in our soul. Emotional health is just as much as important, not more so than even physical health, because oftentimes our thought processes often translate over into our body to create, you know, physical illnesses. And we've been told that by medical science, that stress-related things, worry, anxiety, fear, often translate into, you know, high blood pressure and other ailments that come into the body. So we need to understand that God's will is for us to be in health. God's will is for us to be prosperous. God's will is for us to be blessed. That is his perfect will for us. And anything contrary to that, it's not from him. It's not his will. And we know this also for the Lord's Prayer, because I think it's Matthew chapter 5 where they ask him about how to pray. And Jesus says to them to pray after this manner: Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, let's stop right there. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How is it in heaven? Is anybody depressed in heaven and suicidal? Is anybody in heaven sick and dying of cancer? Is anybody bound as a paraplegic to a wheelchair? Is anybody blind? Is anybody struggling with pornography? Is anybody struggling with an alcohol addiction or drug addiction? No.
None of that.
None of those things exist in heaven. And God is telling us through our Lord and Savior that he wants us to pray after this manner, that thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But is it enough just to pray that? No, we need to get the knowledge of the word, because Jesus said in Matthew 28 to go out into all the world and make disciples, to preach the gospel to the world, to all creation, and to make disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. Was that strictly just only the things that Jesus said in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the words in red? Or is that also applicable to everything that God has said through the word, through the scriptures, the Bible? Because if God and his word are one, and Jesus is the word of God, Jesus was the manifestation of God's word. And we know that the word of God that's in print from Genesis to Revelation is the word of God that we can trust. We can trust his word. And if you don't know his word, then how are you going to stand against the adversary who brings the thought to you, well, you know what? This year ain't going to be any different. You're going to be depressed, or maybe more so. And maybe this year, you know, you might as well just go ahead and end it all. Mm-hmm. And we don't want to see anyone's life taken away by the adversary, because we know what his MO is to steal, kill, and destroy. He didn't come to give anybody any hope. He didn't come to give anybody anything except to take away from him. Jesus made it very clear what the devil's objective is, but yet he also made it clear what his objective was. That's and right. That is to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. And we know that that cannot start except through a choice of your own, a decision that you have to make. As I heard one minister say many years ago, that you have to make a quality decision, that you're going to surrender your life to the Lord, you're going to accept his word, and you're going to obey it. And for you to do that, you've got to get in the word and read it and study it and learn it and get it deep into your spirit. As the scripture says that we're to meditate. God told Joshua that for him to have success, that he has to meditate in the word day and night, that he may observe to do according to all that's written therein. And that way he would make his way prosperous and have good success. Well, if we're going to have good success, we're going to have to incline our ears and our eyes and our thoughts to the word of God, and study it and learn it and read it. And I would suggest that if, as we said earlier, if you haven't done that, get a Bible. Amen. Begin to read it. Start in the New Testament. You know, read the book of That's John. Right. Read the Gospels. Look how Jesus interacted with people. Not one time did he ever turn anybody away from being able to be healed. Not one instance did he do that. And so it is his will for you to prosper and be in health. And so we're going to close out this broadcast here, and we want to make an offer to you. If you have not accepted the Lord Jesus, this is your day that you can accept him and receive him, because he loves you.
Yes,
he came and died on the cross for your sins. So you want to close
this
out with a prayer, sweetheart?
You know, so much information, so much truth has been shared today, and all of this is wonderful. Now, we certainly trust that the Holy Spirit has been speaking to your heart and giving you the hunger that you need, so that you may truly eat, sit at the table that the Lord has prepared for you, and eat of this amazing nourishment that's going to help throughout eternity. But remember, all these wonderful things that have been shared is for those of us who believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Those of us that already have given our heart to him. In case you have not heard, which I doubt, but in case you haven't heard, Jesus Christ died on the cross for you. And therefore, we want you to consider today, like seriously, accepting the invitation that he makes. And what he did was that because you and I cannot go to God, he actually came here to us. And he made salvation available to those who are hungry for the truth and know that they need a savior. And you might ask, a savior saving me from what? Well, you and I were born separated from God. Yep, there's no such a thing as being a really good person that makes it to heaven on his own. We need Jesus. So Jesus died on the cross so that you and I can be reconciled to God. And it is only through him that it is possible. So today, that can be possible for you. You don't have to spend one more day wondering if you die, if you will go to heaven. You can know for sure by giving your heart to Jesus and say, yes, I accept the invitation. I accept what you did. I accept your love, and I'm going to give you my heart back. And you can do that today, wherever you are, and the Lord will listen. He will hear you, and he will seal you with his Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. So we want to end this broadcast on that note, and we want to thank you all for listening. So we close out this broadcast, and we just say thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.
See you then. God bless.
Amen.